This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a sports betting perspective. With pro handicappers Alex B. Smith and Ian Cameron, and veteran sports writer Jimmy Murphy. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Friday, October 15th, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, Jimmy Murphy momentarily as well. We're ready to look ahead to a Friday card with just three games, but some interesting matchups to talk about. Before we get into that, briefly look back on a very busy Thursday night and a very much needed bounce back for the entire Ice Guys crew. Obviously, last night, the results were much better. If I'm not mistaken, a 3-0 best bet sweep. On the show last night, we all cashed our best bets on the Thursday edition of the Ice Guys, which was great to see. Wednesday obviously was tough for everybody, but to see everybody bounce back in the win column last night was good to see. We nailed it from the standpoint of the Columbus Blue Jackets that they would be fired up for their first game, playing with heavy hearts, heavy emotions. First game of the regular season, a tribute to Matisse Kivlenix, the goalie that passed away tragically during the offseason in an awful accident. The Columbus Blue Jackets definitely put their best foot forward for him last night. Part of that, too, was Arizona's just sucks ass. I mean, I think we're pretty much in that camp right now where we know Arizona is going to have a very rough season ahead. The Ottawa Senators doing what they did a lot last year, pulling upsets against teams that, you know, on paper they are better than Ottawa, but that's why you don't play the games on paper. And this Ottawa team, good work ethic and really a shockingly good performance in net from Anton Forsberg. I don't want to say shocking because he's been capable at times, but he's also been very, very poor at times in net for the Ottawa Senators. But it was one of those nights where he was very good in net. If you had the Detroit Red Wings, I did have a piece of the Red Wings last night. Condolences, because that was rough. 6-3 lead for Detroit and four goals from Tyler Bertuzzi. They're going to really be, you know, ringing it to him. Hey, get that vaccine so you can come on the road with us if you're going to play like that. But definitely a great performance from him. And all of a sudden, Tampa Bay floodgates open, penalty trouble for Detroit late in the game. And they end up tying the game 6-6 with the net empty, and they win it 7-6. Just an absolutely rough loss for the Detroit Red Wings in the game they should have won. I know you're playing the defending Stanley Cup champions. It's never over against a team of that caliber. And I know, you know, Detroit's obviously a team that's in a rebuild, but you got to find a way to win that game if you're Detroit, up three goals with less than 10 minutes to go in the third period. They were not able to close the door in that game last night. Couple other results as well. Buffalo Sabres, wow, 5-1 over Montreal. What's wrong with the Canadiens? I'm here in Sportsnet last night. Their anchors talking about reality setting in. Come on, it's 0-2. It's a two games in an 82-game season. What do you mean reality setting in for the Montreal Canadiens? What, their season's over just because they're 0-2? There are things to be worried about, though, with Montreal. There's no doubt, but just funny to hear that. I mean, it's an 82-game season, and we're apparently lowering the casket, you know, on certain teams after just two games. But Montreal, not a good performance last night, 5-1 against Buffalo. Here we go again with the New York Rangers. Two losses to start the year, 3-2 overtime loss to Dallas. Get a little concerned about them. I talked about Carolina be ready to bet some overs with them this year. The only reason I didn't last night is because of who they were playing, and the game still flew over the total with the Islanders, usually a defensive-minded team, but a 6-3 win for Carolina. They're going to score goals in bunches this year with a very deep forward group, a declined blue line, I think, this year. I don't think that Carolina blue line 1-6 is as good, and more question marks in net than last year with Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta as well. And of course, we say LA Kings, very impressive too, 6-2 win over the Vegas Golden Knights, who also suffer a key injury, Mark Stone, last night in that loss. And congratulations to the Seattle Kraken, win number one in franchise history. They get it last night with a 4-3 win over the Nashville Predators, and very deserving of the win. That's two games in a row that Seattle played well enough to win. They actually do get the win this time around. First win in franchise history, defeating the Nashville Predators. Alex, what were some of your thoughts and takeaways from Thursday night's action?
Yeah, I think the biggest shock has to be the Tampa Bay Detroit game. You know, like I said, Detroit comes out, gets a early lead, then they build upon it 3-0, and then 4-1, and then next thing you know, it's 4-3. And at that moment, the second intermission, I was able to get a live bet on Tampa Bay +140. I'm thinking, okay, maybe they'll be able to come back. I'm thinking it's going to be kind of tight. You know, things are going to settle down. Before I could even blink, I'm heading out the door, going somewhere. When I get to the bar, it's 6-3 Detroit. I'm like, okay, well, that's over. Then in like another 20, 30 minutes, I'm looking on Twitter and everybody's responding, Tampa Bay has come back to win at 7-6. I watched the highlights this morning. It's just an incredible game. I mean, Tampa Bay is, I think it's a mental, you know, thing for them. Like I said, you know, they've played so much high level hockey for so long, you get kind of bogged down. Physically, they're fine, but I think the mental fatigue is what's going to, you know, start to creep in sometimes. And I don't know if this is a long term thing. Obviously, we'll see them bounce back against a Washington team that looked good in their first game. That'll be tomorrow. But definitely keep an eye. Like I said, we can't be laying big prices with Tampa. Maybe find some spots to play them adjusted in live. But they've got some issues they need to address right now, and maybe Vasilevskiy needs a rest. I would expect to see Brian Elliott tomorrow get his debut with the Lightning. As for some of the other games, you know, first period overs are roaring back now. We saw it with the Columbus Arizona game. 48 seconds into that game, Columbus gets a goal, and then they get one late. They actually had a chance to get four goals in that first period. They end up getting eight, which I thought was really symbolic and awesome in honor of Matisse Kivlinik, number 80. Getting eight goals to wrap that game up was really special. And that was a big night, and the ceremony was well done. And like I said, you know, that's something that they might be able to carry that momentum for at least a few games. We know they're not going to have the best of seasons, but I'm sure they'll be able to carry that moving forward into tomorrow's contest. It's just, you know, we're seeing, like I said, people overreact to certain things. Like, you know, Montreal hasn't fallen off a cliff. Tampa Bay hasn't fallen off a cliff. You know, the Kings aren't going to win the Stanley Cup. You know, these things, you know, like I said, we're building the storylines now. And, you know, we can't, you know, get too high or get too low on what we're seeing. We just have to take it for what it is and just see how things progress.
And we're seeing teams like Ottawa, like Anaheim, like LA, you know, Detroit putting up a battle. You know, Columbus, Buffalo, even last night against Montreal, teams that are not expected to be good winning. It's because it's a new season. Everybody's 0-0. And for a lot of the teams that are supposed to be good, they treat the first couple weeks as, yeah, let's get our legs under us. Let's just look to, you know, gradually improve with each game. We're not looking to be maybe in peak form right from game number one out of 82, especially when there is a lot of expectations. You know, it's a pace yourself for a marathon, not necessarily a sprint. It's the same exact advice I basically said yesterday when you're going through a little bit of a rough patch. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Don't ever panic. Stick with it. It's a long season. And definitely if you go about your work and your handicapping and your betting process the right way, things will turn around. And that's kind of what teams are on the ice here too, especially the good teams that could just take time and they're just looking to gradually warm up, get better, and not exactly always expected to be at their absolute best early in the year. I believe we have our colleague Jimmy Murphy with us now as well on the Friday edition of the show. Jimmy, welcome in, and any thoughts on last night's games?
One second, guys. I'm just trying to get a good connection. I'll be right there.
All right. We'll see if Jimmy can.
I thought he was getting pulled over.
Iron out his connection. I thought so. It sounded like there was a cop behind him. Like, drinking already today, Jimmy? No, too early. Save that for tonight. That's not what he's doing. It just sounded like it. Maybe there was some law enforcement going on in the background there. But nevertheless, we'll get Jimmy back with us momentarily. Let's go to tonight's card, Chicago and New Jersey. We'll start with that. We've got New Jersey -135, home favorite, six and a half.
I'm back, guys.
Oh, Jimmy's back. All right, Jimmy, before we get to tonight, what were your thoughts and impressions from all the action last night?
I thought it was a great, great night of hockey, guys. I don't know about you, but it was really fun bouncing around the games. And I just love, you know, having the ESPN package now. I can get any game again. And it was just fun. I was bouncing around with a lady friend of mine who's not really a big hockey fan, but I got her into hockey last night. So I feel like I did something good. She was excited. And I'll tell you guys, I look at that Tampa game. I heard you guys talking about it there. And, yeah, that's exactly what we've been talking about. They're not going to be cakewalks for the Tampa Bay Lightning early on here. Every game is going to be a project. It's going to be hard work, and they're going to have to will their way through. But they're doing that now. You know, and they did that with that game. They showed a lot of character there coming back. One thing I will say, though, is – you know, Dylan Larkin, for what he did, it's insane. Like, I mean, Joseph cheap shot him. He could have paralyzed him. He was in an awkward position. It was a bullshit hit. He should be the one getting disciplinary action, not Dylan Larkin. This is why our game's so messed up. I mean, what exactly is a hit from behind? What is boarding? When are we going to follow the rule book and harp on that? And, you know, he could get paralyzed there. I don't think much could have happened from a sucker punch. I'm sorry. And he deserved it if he got it. So I think the league really dropped the ball there. And I think Stephen Stamkos should shut the hell up. But as far as the other games go, congrats to Seattle getting their first win there. I really loved watching the Kings as well. They really, you know, I told you I was high on them this year. A really statement win for them. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're going to show right now. They're going to tell everybody we're a different team. We're going to be tough to get by. So I thought it was a great performance there. The one thing again, though, Ian, I'm done with them. I'm putting the Montreal ban that I had in the regular season last year on the New York Rangers now. That is it. I will not bet the New York Rangers for at least a month.
All right. Well, we'll hold you to that. That means if you're going to mention betting on the New York Rangers before or on November 15th, we're going to say, nope, can't do it to you. And there will be no going back. You want to bet the New York Rangers, you want to give them out on the show, Jimmy, we're going to tell you a hard no, Letterkenny style. Until November 15th, that you cannot bet that team. Are you prepared to enforce that and go through with that?
I'm prepared. Right. Screw the blue shirts.
All right, there you go. He's had it. After two games, he's had it with this New York Rangers underachieving nonsense. We're going to hold you to it. We're going to hold Jimmy to this. No, until November the 15th, he cannot recommend the New York Rangers here on the Ice Guys show. So there you go. It is official. Set in stone. Final answer, as they say on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. There we go. We're setting it up right now. No New York Rangers bets for Jimmy till November 15th. Maybe some New York Rangers bets for me because I'm a moron for the next month or so. But unfortunately for Jimmy, nothing until November 15th in terms of getting involved with the New York Rangers. And again, with the Rangers, look, I'm not pushing the panic button. Is it disappointing? Yeah. Is it the start you wanted from them? Obviously not, but you know, it is two games. There was improvement, I thought, last night from the Rangers, even though they lost again. Certainly improvement from the Washington game, but yeah, disappointing start. All right, now let's get to Chicago, New Jersey, the first game on tonight's card. New Jersey -135, home favorite, 6 the total here in this one. Very interesting matchup here. You've got New Jersey playing their first game, their home opener, Chicago already having played a game. Although it didn't go well against the Colorado Avalanche. But look, a lot of teams are going to be made to look silly against the Colorado Avalanche. And what was impressive is they were that good without Nathan MacKinnon the other night. But obviously, you can't make mistakes with the puck. You can't, you know, break down in coverage like Chicago did early in that game. Dig yourself an early deficit, you know, and expect to win a game on the road against a team of that caliber. It has to go without saying, though. I mean, Chicago definitely has to clean it up a little bit defensively. I thought certainly defensively they'd be better this year. And Seth Jones, he was getting a lot of criticism following that first game against Colorado. I still thought, you know, last year his defensive play declined, but I thought that was a product of a Columbus team that, to be honest with you, was just in an absolutely brutal season for Columbus, to be honest with you. Things didn't go well for them. And I thought maybe Seth Jones just got caught up in that. But you look at Colorado, though, the other night, a lot of mistakes and issues defensively for Jones, you know, out of position. There were some giveaways, -2 in the plus minus rating, you know, definitely some concerns there. And look, he's got to be better than that. Simple as that, you know, for a guy that they've committed a lot of money, resources, responsibility, you know, the fact that where he is in the lineup for Chicago, you know, on that top pair for the Blackhawks, you want to see better from him in his own end than that, than what we saw against Colorado. But again, it's a one game sample size. We've got to wait and see the whole season progress. One thing to look at with Seth Jones, by the way, he had 4 shots on goal the other night against Colorado. Shots on goal prop for sure. He's shooting the puck a lot, and we saw that the other night against Colorado. So definitely something to keep in mind there. Maybe Seth Jones a good player prop option in terms of over shots on goal moving forward. And I mentioned this on Twitter last night, speaking of defensemen to bet over shots on goal props, you got to keep doing it game in and game out right now with 2 guys in particular, Adam Fox and Aaron Ekblad. Both of those guys had 6 shots on goal last night. And look, you're going to, and going into last night, you saw 1.5, 2.5 in a lot of books with their shots on goal totals, you know, jump on that. Now those 2 defensemen, Fox for the Rangers, Ekblad for the Florida Panthers, and get on those shots on goal props before the adjustments are made, because clearly these guys on the back end, they're driving the offense. They're not hesitating to shoot. They'll take the shot instead of pass if it's there. And they've certainly shown an ability to do that so far this year. So what do we get from Chicago tonight's the question. Bounce back for them against Colorado. It looks like it's actually Kevin Lankinen who's going to be in net making his debut. They're going to save Marc-Andre Fleury for tomorrow night, as expected, right? Playing his old team, the Pittsburgh Penguins. And that's exactly what Jeremy Colliton has done here. New Jersey, I'm telling you what, top 6 forward group, and their preseason results were solid. The New Jersey Devils with Zacha, Nico Hischier and Jesper Bratt, their top line. Jack Hughes, of course, will be with Yegor Sharangovich, who I think could be benefiting from having Jack Hughes with him. Hughes and Sharangovich are definitely 2 players I'm targeting tonight in terms of props in this game. You know, you could look shots on goal. You could look at to score a point, to certainly any time goal score. Any of those props with Hughes and with Sharangovich I'd look at, because I think Sharangovich will have a good year playing alongside Jack Hughes going into tonight's game in this one. So let's see how this goes, but I think that could be a solid offensive line. As I mentioned for Chicago, you look at them and they're going to be going up against a New Jersey team that will not have Mackenzie Blackwood in net tonight. It'll be Jonathan Bernier getting the nod for the New Jersey Devils in this game tonight, with Blackwood not good to start the year due to a heel injury. And when you look at the Devils' blue line this year, you know, Dougie Hamilton, a guy that not hesitating to shoot. Ryan Graves is a great skater, a guy with some offensive upside, good defensively, but also got some offensive upside. And, of course, you've got that with a guy like P.K. Subban as well. So you've got some difference makers on the back end for New Jersey in terms of blue liners that could really facilitate this team offensively, no question about that. So I think this sets up to be a game where you could see some goals both ways. I do like this game over the total. I didn't love the performance overall from Chicago, but there's no denying in the first game against Colorado, but they do have a game under their belt. It is the first game for New Jersey. You got to think maybe that's going to help Chicago a little bit. A small bet for me on Chicago here. I don't love it, but I think at the price to take something with the Blackhawks here at a +115 to +120 type of price range here with Chicago is worth it. But my stronger opinion on this game is definitely the total. I think it can get up and over 6 Blackhawks and Devils. Alex, what do you think here for your Blackhawks here as they attempt to bounce back against Jersey?
Yeah, I think we will see a solid bounce back spot. And I was stunned to see the Hawks as a dog here because of the fact that, I mean, New Jersey, like I said, the jury's still out on them. You know, making that next step forward. They don't have Mackenzie Blackwood. He's dealing with an injury. So it's going to be Bernier. And that this just doesn't seem like a Devils team that should be a favorite against anybody right at this moment. But especially a Hawks team where, yeah, they had the defensive issues. That's what pretty much took them out of the game right away. But the offense looked, you know, pretty sharp. The puck movement that we're seeing, especially on the power play, We haven't seen that in quite some time. I was really impressed by that, with the goal that Kubalik got. That whole sequence was just flawless. And if they can get those opportunities more often than not, which I think they'll be able to tonight, we'll see them get goals and they'll be competitive in games. This is I think this is a awfully high price. So I got them on the money line, but I also like this first period over as well. Like I said, the Devils can definitely get some goals. And, you know, we saw them mostly trend under last year, but there were some times they were able to kind of score early and then try to clamp down on things. So maybe if they get the first goal, they'll try to, you know, be a bit more reserved. But you can't do that with this Hawks offense, the type of speed that they have right now. They, like I said, they have some shades of brilliance. And if they're passing the puck well, they could be a dangerous team.
Definitely. No question about that. We've lost Jimmy Murphy for a second. We'll hopefully be able to get him back on with us momentarily. In the meantime, we will move on to the second game, Vancouver Canucks, Philadelphia Flyers. We've got Philadelphia minus 145, home favorites, six the total. Once again, just like the last game, you've got Vancouver, who have already played a game, taking on Philadelphia here, that are playing their first game of the season, their home opener. So interesting how this will go. If you watched Vancouver Edmonton last night, you wouldn't know that there was much of a gap or difference between the two teams. The Canucks had a very good hockey game the other night, 3-2 shootout win for Edmonton. But you look at the way the game flow was, the Canucks were really generating and a lot of chances. They had a lot of good looks at the net. They really peppered Mike Smith with shots throughout that game. And to Mike Smith's credit, he played well. And look, we talked about Mike Smith in our preview shows and earlier this week already, saying, you know, he's a guy that played very well last year. Could he duplicate that this year? Well, he had a very, very good opening game for this Edmonton Oilers team, and was a big reason why they were able to get the victory the other night against Vancouver. You know, I liked what I saw, though. Bo Horvat had a very good night, you know, including a power play goal for the Vancouver Canucks. You look at Connor Garland, who they got from the Arizona Coyotes. You know, Arizona, you want to know why they're not as good this year. They've got their rosters thin. You lose a guy like Connor Garland, was one of their better forwards last year. Now on this Vancouver team, I thought he had a very solid debut as well for the Canucks. And you look at their top six. And by the way, Elias Pettersson, here's another thing to keep an eye on. Shots on goal, six for him in that first game of the season against Edmonton. And I'm hearing the same thing from Pettersson that I heard from Marner for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Mitch Marner, that, yeah, these guys are great playmakers. You know, they're good at, you know, setting up their line mates, putting them in position to score. Nevertheless, Mitch Marner was saying prior to the year, I kind of want to shoot the puck more and try to get my own offense going a bit more. And we heard the same things in training camp as well from Elias Pettersson. And what are we seeing from both of these guys? They are shooting the puck more. So you talk about guys you may want to target for over shots. And here's Elias Pettersson. Yes, he's always going to be looking to be, you know, an assist guy, you know, set his teammates up. But he's also actively conscious of trying to shoot the puck more this year. So keep an eye on that. But he had six shots on goal in that first game for the Canucks against the Oilers. So interesting to see. Plays with JT Miller and Vasily Podkolzin already, you know, moving on up the lineup. He's going to be on that second line, it looks like, tonight alongside Pettersson. And for that reason, Podkolzin shots on goal and goal score prop could be a great bargain in this game for the Vancouver Canucks here, because of the fact you're looking at a situation where he's getting elevated minutes. These are some of the best player props, Alex, to bet, is these players that go up the lineup, and it's not accounted for in the pricing of these goal scorer props. And that's exactly what we could be seeing here with Podkolzin. You know, he's going to be playing top six forward minutes tonight on that second line with a elite playmaker in Elias Pettersson, you know, centering that second line that Podkolzin's moving up to play on, and he's plus 450, you know, to score a goal tonight. That's insane value, you know, and that's definitely value I'm not passing up in terms of that goal score prop in this game tonight. I think Vancouver's very live here at plus 130. I know it was a tough loss for them in a shootout, but I said in the offseason, until Philadelphia changes my mind, which is shows me that they're a better team than I think they are, they're bet against for me, at least early in the year. Now, Alain Vigneault is saying great things about Carter Hart. And look, Carter Hart did look good in the preseason. And apparently he's dialed in, according to Alain Vigneault. But we still have to see if he's dialed in when the games count now, starting tonight. Obviously, it was a horrible year for him, a massive decline in the expectation, considering the expectation level of what Flyers fans and everybody is expecting from this kid. And it just did not go well for him last year. They're saying all the right things. He's mentally in a good space, good mindset coming into this season, but we still have to see it play out on the ice. And it's worth noting too, a couple injuries as well for the Philadelphia Flyers. Kevin Hayes is on IR to begin the year. Rasmus Ristolainen and Samuel Morin on the blue line are both going to be out to begin the year as well for the Philadelphia Flyers. And when you look at the Flyers blue line, Provorov, they bring in Ryan Ellis, which is, you know, a guy that can still play at a very good level, but, you know, injuries have started to creep into his, his tenure, I guess you could say, the last year or so. Sanheim with Bronze, a solid group. Yandel and Seeler, though, on the third pair. Yandel's always sometimes a little bit shaky in his own zone. And Nick Seeler, of course, just a depth defenseman. And up front, you know, you're going to need to get some punch from the third and the fourth line. They're hoping they get that with Lawton and Lindblom. Derek Brassard's got to have a much better offensive year, in my opinion, especially considering he's playing second line center for this team with Atkinson and Farabee. Yeah, I think we pretty much count on Giroux, Couturier, and Konechny. That is a good top line for Philly, but, you know, depth scoring still a concern for them. I do like Vancouver here a little bit, plus 130. And look, Thatcher Demko was outstanding, I thought, in the game against Edmonton. He looked like he picked up right where he left off last year. If you're buying into Alain Vigneault and what he's saying about Carter Hart's looking great, dialed in training camp and in the preseason, makes me think this game may actually stay under the total here tonight. It's six. You know, the under has dominated in this series history as well. If you look at it, going back, you know, I think the last five or six meetings, we've seen nothing but unders. 5-0, the last five head-to-head meetings between the Canucks and the Flyers. So now again, they didn't play last year. You have to go back to 2 years ago, but those two meetings, 3-2 and 2-1. So, and of course that was when Carter Hart was playing well. If they expect him to come back, play well this year, then maybe we could get a lower scoring game, because I certainly like the way Thatcher Demko played last year. And he certainly was good enough to win that game the other night against Edmonton with his performance. So I lean under, but I'm just going to stick to Vancouver here. Plus 130, a game they could have won against Edmonton Wednesday night, and I think a good chance to win here tonight at a nice plus price against the Flyers. Alex, what's your thoughts here, Vancouver and Philly?
Yeah, I like Vancouver in this spot too. I think they'll be able to finally get some of the goals that they should have gotten in the last game against Edmonton. They had a ton of offensive chances, and that was just one of those rare nights where, you know, Mike Smith standing on his head. It's something we're not going to see too often, I don't think, throughout the year. And like I said, you know, a tough break, of course, in the shootout as well. So they'll be able to bounce back for that. Under also makes a little bit of sense, even, you know, with six. Like I said, Demko's, you know, going to be solid. I think we're going to see, you know, some good production from him. And I do think Carter Hart is, in due time, is going to be as good as advertised. We've seen the flashes of brilliance, and he's also a much better goalie at home than on the road. We talked about that last couple of years. But like I said, it's still, we're still waiting to see how the whole collective defense operates for the Flyers. It was rough at the end of last year, to say the least. They had some terrible games. And so I can't take any unders right now involving the Flyers. I would definitely just take a small shot with Vancouver on the money line.
All right, like in Vancouver here at a plus price round, plus 130 is what you can get right now with Vancouver in most spots. Jimmy is in transit right now, having connection difficulties. So he's just passed on his picks. We'll get him back on the show either this weekend or on Monday for sure. So he is on the Flyers. He's bringing out Jimmy Puck line for this one. Flyers -1.5. I agree. If you like Philly, you know, take a shot maybe with the puck line here instead of the -150, which is where it is in some spots. So Jimmy Murphy like a -1.5, +160 here. Philadelphia Flyers on the puck line in this one. And he also likes Chicago, New Jersey over the total, which is also his best bet. Chicago, New Jersey over the total. I know, spoiler alert, usually I should have saved that for the best bet segment, but we'll mention it now in case I forget that Jimmy's best bet is Chicago, New Jersey over six -115. All right, before we move on to the next game, we want to mention our great sponsors for the Ice Guys and the Hockey Podcast Network, DraftKings. The puck has dropped on the season. Incredible new sportsbook, DraftKings Sportsbook NHL promo that's available. Of course, DraftKings now the official sports book of the National Hockey League, which is great to see. Of course, the states, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Colorado, Michigan, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Arizona. So those are the states with a DraftKings Sportsbook, and it's very, very simple. You can sign up for a brand new account with DraftKings Sportsbook. You can bet $1 to win $100 in free bets, and it will cash if both in whatever game you choose. It can be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday NHL game all weekend long. Bet $1 to win $100 in free bets if either team scores, if both teams score a goal in that game. Simple as that. And you get $100 in free bets. It's definitely worth it. Again, both teams have to score a goal. In regulation, by the way, is when that has to happen. But if it does, and obviously your chances are good in a league where we always see the goals, it seems, rise most years. $1, win $100 free bets. And all you got to do is bet $1 for that. And you'll get that $100 in free bets, whatever game you choose, if both teams score a goal. So make sure you take advantage of that at the DraftKings Sportsbook. And also, if you're into the NFL, same thing, $1 on any NFL game, and you can win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. You got to like your chances of that. You know, last 0-0 tie in the NFL, 1943. So it's basically giving you the chance. It's like, here you go, take advantage of this, is what DraftKings is saying. So again, take advantage of it. I mentioned the states where DraftKings is currently available. If you're in a state or you're in Canada where the DraftKings Sportsbook is not yet available, you can still play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. And again, new customers, a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit. And all you got to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the promo code THPN. Again, $1 on any NFL game to win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. $1 in any NHL game this weekend to win $100 in free bets if both teams score a goal. So there you go. Simple as that. Take advantage of it. DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL and now the NHL as well. DraftKings Sportsbook, use the promo code THPN. Must be 21 years of age or older. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So get on it. NFL, NHL this weekend. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Sign up for an account. Use that promo code THPN. All right, let's get to our final game on the Friday NHL card. Minnesota Wild, Anaheim Ducks. We've got Minnesota -165 to -170 road favorites, 5.5 shaded to the under. If you're a new listener of the Ice Guys podcast or a new viewer to the Ice Guys show on YouTube this year, and you've never heard of Terry Edelman, one of our biggest viewers and listeners and fans of the show. He is a diehard, rabid Minnesota Wild fan. So this is the Terry Edelman special, as we like to call it whenever we talk Minnesota Wild. And this is the first time that we get to talk Minnesota Wild hockey, as this is their season opener against an Anaheim team coming off a surprising but solid, effective opening night victory against the Winnipeg Jets. I can't say they played great. You know, they did get outchanced, outshot, but they capitalized on their chances and some gaffes by Winnipeg. And actually, to be quite frank there, not a great night from Connor Hellebuck by his standards either for the Winnipeg Jets. But give Anaheim credit. And look, the thing that I've noticed with Anaheim, because I saw a good portion of that game, they do have some improved team speed with the likes of Trevor Zegras now a regular in the lineup. Mason McTavish, you know, gets his first goal. Lundstrom, you know, there's some guys on this lineup that definitely have a lot more speed and are just their north-south ability to get up and down the ice is greater than it was last year, I think, overall as a team. And that's definitely good news moving forward for the Anaheim Ducks. And when John Gibson's going to play like he did the other night against Winnipeg, they're always going to have a good chance to steal a victory. And certainly they did that the other night. I don't want to say they completely stole it because, look, Winnipeg was definitely lethargic, made mistakes. Their own goalie didn't play his best game. But give credit to Anaheim because they were able to get the job done and take advantage of a Winnipeg team that didn't play a little bit sloppy, I would say. It doesn't look like it's going to be John Gibson. I'm just seeing now Anthony Stolarz going to be your goalie tonight here for the Anaheim Ducks in this game. Keep in mind, this is an Anaheim team that, you know, what's funny is that they don't play from what I see on Saturday. So this is just the decision being made here by Dallas Eakins here that we're it's going to be Anthony Stolarz here tonight in net for the Anaheim Ducks. I'm just reading to see if I can get the determination as to why he's
it's an upper body injury
for Gibson. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. So it is a upper body injury for John Gibson after a very good performance in the opener against Winnipeg. So there you go. It's Anthony Stolarz that is going to be in between the pipes for the Anaheim Ducks. But Stolarz, I'll tell you what, 8 games in the NHL last season with the Ducks as a starter, 4-3, 2.2 goals against 7 games, 4-3, 2.2 goals against average, 926 save percentage, solid numbers. So, you know, it's still not automatic that, wow, you know, Minnesota is going to for sure just run over Anaheim just because John Gibson's out of the net. I do lean to Minnesota, but I certainly am not going to lay this kind of price with the Minnesota Wild. We're talking minus 170 going into this game. If you like Minnesota, I recommend like even money, minus 105 plus 100 in that range within regulation with the Minnesota Wild instead. Now, I think Minnesota defensively is going to be better. I hate to say it because he's had a great career, better without Ryan Suter. You know, Goligoski, Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin, Matt Dumba, and they bring in two veterans. Dmitry Kulikov and John Merrill aren't slouches, you know, on the back end. Those are two solid veteran defensemen. They played playoff games in the past. You know, that's going to help this Minnesota team. I like their depth, actually, at the back end this year. Of course, they get the contract done with Kaprizov, bringing Kirill the Thrill back. He'll be with Joel Eriksson-Ek and Mats Zuccarello on the top line, Jordan Greenway, Ryan Hartman, Marcus Foligno, the second line. And then you go on down the list. They're starting the year with Fiala on the third line. And we know Fiala is a streaky offensive dynamo. When he gets it rolling, he can definitely make an impact. And the fact that he is going to be on the third line, at least to begin the year for Dean Evason and this Minnesota team, kind of tells you this team's got maybe three lines that are going to be able to at least contribute something to the offense and to the score sheet on a nightly basis. So, you know, for me, Anaheim, you know, these teams that have kind of surprised us in this first game or two, it's going to be interesting to see if this momentum carries over, right? Teams like Anaheim, teams like Buffalo, you know, teams like Ottawa, you know, teams that have, you know, won their first game so far this year. Is it just that one-off, that the excitement of playing your first game, maybe an opponent overlooks you, or do you keep up that kind of performance in the second game? That's going to be the question mark for a team like Anaheim coming off a very good opening night win against Winnipeg. But I think Minnesota does win this hockey game. And by the way, it is expected, not confirmed, but expected to be Cam Talbot in net for them tonight. But I'm just not going to lay this price. I just lean to Minnesota in regulation here at around even money. Alex, your thoughts here with the Wild and the Ducks?
Yeah, it's interesting. We were talking about John Gibson making big saves, and we were saying, okay, you know, he's good and fresh and ready, and, you know, he can, you know, maybe carry the team and steal a game, and then all of a sudden he goes down with a lower body injury, or upper body injury, I should say. And so now we're back to square one. You know, they, like I said, Anaheim still has a ton of speed that we saw against Winnipeg. They'll be able to utilize that tonight because Minnesota's a good speed team, a good transitional team. There's going to be a lot of up and down, especially early. But then you got Stolarz in net, which, yeah, he's had, you know, a couple of good games in his career, but he's not a guy that you can trust like Gibson. I love this first period over. I was stunned that it opened -$1.05. And then even with the news of Gibson out, I saw plus 100, plus 102 at some shops. So jump all over that. I think we're going to see at least 3, maybe even 4 goals potentially in this first period. Wow. I don't want anything to do with the side either. I could see where it's like it might go back and forth, but the Wilds could pull away late because these two teams do kind of play each other tight. Whether the tie or low scoring, they always tend to go back and forth. There was a game, I think it was 6-5 last year here in St. Paul, where they were kind of going, just trading off goals one after the other, even though, you know, Anaheim's not exactly the kind of team to light up the lamp 5 or 6 times against anybody. And keep in mind, too, we mentioned this with Tampa Detroit yesterday. This is a matchup where these two teams were division rivals for a season last year. So it can carry over some of those tendencies. They can, you know, remember those things. They're still familiar with one another a bit. So I think that's going to come into play. So I love the first period over here with the Ducks in the Wild.
All right, loving it here. Minnesota, Anaheim over 1.5 in the first period. And again, with that bet, it's plus money. It's plus 105. with that first period over in a lot of spots with the Wild and the Ducks. And you're right, this is probably the game on the card where out of the three games, it's the first thing you think of is just probably maybe the chance to be the lowest scoring game of the night. But then you look at head-to-head meetings, you know, last year, especially the last couple, you saw 4-3, you saw 4-3 earlier in the year. You had a 5-1 game in there between these two teams. So, you know, they have actually played to some overs, at least, you know, pretty much split in half, but they at least have played to some overs, these two teams. But Alex, looking specifically at the first period over here in this one, over 1.5, get that quick start over 1.5 at plus 105 in this one. And by the way, very important to point this out. This is the first game of the season in that new ESPN deal where it is ESPN Plus exclusive. Very important to point that out. So if you want to watch this game, it's not going to be on Center Ice. It's not going to be on your local regional. It's not going to be on your Bally Sports Minnesota or whatever it is. They're North, I think it is. Yep. It's not going to be on Bally Sports West for people on the West Coast in California. This is exclusive to the ESPN Plus platform. So if you want to watch the game, you've got to go to ESPN Plus. It's the only place you'll find it.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was out at a local bar yesterday, and I was asking the bartender, I said, do you guys have ESPN Plus? And she goes, no. I said, well, be prepared for a lot of people.
That's going to be 99% tomorrow. Of bars staying with that same response. Yeah, yeah,
and that's
yeah.
the thing. And so, on my personal Facebook, I kind of, you know, made a comment, and I've been tagging a couple of bars here in the area that do have ESPN Plus for other things that you should show, like college football and different stuff. So I would, you know, alert everyone anywhere. If you watch games at a bar, and you're in a city, you know, with a team, ask your bartenders, ask the bar managers if they have ESPN Plus or if they can get ESPN Plus in the bars, because, you know, there's going to be these games. I think there's about 25 of them where they're only going to be exclusive to ESPN Plus. So if you're someone who goes out to watch the games, make a note of that and try to find out what places in your area will have the capability to stream these games.
Yeah, no question about that. It is important to note that these games, and there'll be a bunch of them, and most of them are going to be Friday nights. They're designating Friday night as this ESPN Plus hockey night,
yeah,
exclusive broadcast night, where there's going to be one game, maybe even a doubleheader on occasion on a Friday night, exclusive to ESPN Plus. And this is definitely one of those games. So yeah, Hulu is actually might have the game as well. I think that's the way they're doing it. You're right. Every ESPN Plus exclusive game is on the Hulu streaming service as well. I'm pretty sure of that they said that every ESPN Plus game was going to be on the Hulu platform as well, which of course you could be subscribed to already. So keep an eye on that. So that's very important to point that out. And by the way, these exclusive ESPN Plus games, they're also ESPN produced games. These are going to be the, you know, you're going to have da 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 da. You're going to have the theme song. It's almost like you're watching an ESPN broadcast. It is, because all these ESPN Plus games, they're not picking it up from the Minnesota feed or the Anaheim broadcast. None of that. It's their national ESPN broadcasters doing this game. It's an ESPN production. And in this particular game tonight, this is going to be, she's done play by play for an NHL game before, but this is going to be kind of history-making because she hasn't done a game as a actual full-time NHL play-by-play announcer. We've got a first female NHL play-by-play announcer calling this game tonight. Leah Hextall will be doing the play-by-play on ESPN Plus for Minnesota and Anaheim. She's working with Brian Boucher in this game. And then we've got Linda Cohen, Ryan Callahan, and John Tortorella as part of the studio crew tonight for this game on ESPN Plus. So there you go. That's what it is. So very exciting. Leah Hextall, good for her. She'll be doing the play-by-play of it tonight. And she'll be doing games throughout the year for the ESPN network. So there you go. Minnesota Anaheim. Just make sure you don't go to your local Minnesota affiliate or Center Ice or any of those to find the game, because you're going to be out of luck. That's the issue. You're going to want to make sure that you have ESPN Plus if you want to watch that, or Hulu in the States if you're going to watch Minnesota and Anaheim tonight. I don't know. Johnny Z is excited. He says Torts in our chat. John Tortorella did a hit with SVP the other night on SportsCenter. I think it was Tuesday night or Wednesday night. And it was meek, mild-mannered, tame John Tortorella. It wasn't this fire and brimstone and yelling and screaming and ranting and raving John Tortorella. So, beware of that. I mean, everybody expects him to just let loose and, you know, fire from the hip when he's on ESPN, but you may not get that from John Tortorella. He's kind of like, I don't know if it's, if he's undergoing yoga or, you know, if he's doing some kind of therapy, but he seems like a calmer John. And even in Columbus, like, he didn't really have those moments like he did in, earlier in his coaching career, where he just absolutely let loose. So I'm excited to see what he's like on television. Don't get me wrong here, Tortorella, but if we're expecting him to just be a raving lunatic 24/7 on in front of the camera, I wouldn't expect that from Torts. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes tonight. And that's the Friday NHL card there right here on the Ice Guys. Great show, as always. Reminder, we are here to serve you, the NHL bettors, all weekend long. We're the only show that doesn't take weekends off. When it comes to NHL betting, the Ice Guys is here for you on Saturdays and on Sundays all season long. We will be on the air noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Saturday, and once again on Sunday as well. Although this weekend, we're not going to have a Sunday show. What we're going to do is we're going to do the Saturday card tomorrow. It's a huge card, monster card. And then at the end of the Saturday card on tomorrow's Saturday show, we will tack on the one game that is scheduled on Sunday, which is the Dallas Stars and the Ottawa Senators. So that's the schedule. No Sunday show, but only because there's normally we will, but we figured with just one game on Sunday this weekend, we'll just tack that game on to the analysis on the Saturday show once we get through the Saturday games. So tomorrow we will break down a massive 14-game NHL card. And then, of course, we'll also talk Dallas and Ottawa for Sunday also on tomorrow's show. So join us tomorrow, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific for that. It should be a great show. Before we wrap up the show, time for best bets. I mentioned earlier, Jimmy Murphy's best bet is Chicago, New Jersey, over six. Alex B. Smith, your best bet for tonight.
It's Minnesota, Anaheim. First period over. You can get it at plus money. I advise you to grab that as soon as you can. We should definitely see some goals early and often in this contest.
All right, Minnesota, Anaheim, over 1.5, plus 105, first period, best bet for Alex B. Smith. Best bet for me, just to be different, because I was going to go Chicago, New Jersey over, which I do really like, but I want to be different. Let's go Vancouver, plus 130 against Philadelphia. I think anything close to the performance against Edmonton nets them a W here tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers. I thought they played well enough in victory. They were pretty much even throughout most of that game against Edmonton. And if they bring that same kind of performance tonight against a Philadelphia team that disappointed last year, they're saying the right things that we expect to be better. We expect to push for the playoffs this year. I need to see it first before I believe it. And I still think Vancouver could end up being the better team once this season progresses. We'll find out the Canucks might be better than the Flyers. So take advantage of the price here. Vancouver plus 130 against Philadelphia. That'll be my best bet for this Friday NHL card. And that'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys for Friday, October 15th. Thanks to everyone in the chat who joins us live on YouTube. And a reminder, if you can't watch the show live on YouTube, no problem. You can download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. We're at over 1,000 podcast downloads already for our shows in just a week between our preview shows and the first three shows we've done here in the regular season. And we can't express enough how much we thank you for watching, for downloading the podcast, for tuning in and joining us daily. And again, we will be with you tomorrow. And we don't take weekends off here. We are back tomorrow, Saturday at noon Eastern, for a Saturday edition of the Ice Guys featuring the, as always, loaded Saturday NHL betting card. And looking forward to breaking it down tomorrow on Saturday's show. For Alex B. Smith and for Jimmy Murphy, who was with us for a little bit earlier in the show as well, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Friday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we will talk to you again tomorrow on Saturday for another edition of the Ice Guys presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.